This is the Reds Hot Stove League. The Reds Hot Stove League is brought to you by Holy Grail Banks and Santo Graal, proud sponsors of the Reds Hot Stove League. Beacon Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, JTM. Let's create great dishes together. MSA Architects. And by Document Destruction, the official document shredding vendor of the Reds. The Reds Hot Stove League is also brought to you by... Reds Hot Stove League on the Reds Radio Network. The Reds
on the radio. Hi, everybody. We're at the Holy Grail Banks, but then again, where else would we be? We've got a nice, cozy, intimate crowd here with us tonight, and we're going to be talking baseball from now until 7 o'clock. I'm Marty Brenneman. This is Jim Kelch. Jim?
Marty, you look like you've been on the beach volleyball tour.
Well, I work at it, pal. When I go to Florida or get on a cruise ship, I make every second count.
In the sun.
That's exactly right.
Do you have one of those reflective things that you hold?
I do not do that.
Okay, just check.
I do not do that. We have with us a young man who's come up from the warm, sunny climes of Florida, whose name certainly is recognizable to Reds fans. Needs no introduction, but he's going to get one anyway, and that's Reds outfielder Jesse Winker. Jesse, how are you, pal?
Doing great. Thank you for having me. Thank you guys for coming. I appreciate you.
We only got you for about 10 minutes or so. Last year, 106 games, 303, three homers, 45 RBIs. And then in the Arizona, with the Arizona Reds, you had 13 at-bats, six hits, including a couple of home runs. How would you characterize the season you had this year?
You know, I thought I had a really solid year. I played well. Being hurt is never fun. You know, I did miss a month with a wrist injury, but I thought I bounced back nicely. You know, put together some great ABs, and I thought I made a lot of strides this year, so very, very pleased with it.
You went through injury situation last year, as you talked about. You also went through an injury situation 2 years ago. How are you now in those various injuries in terms of recovery?
I'm feeling good. I've been working hard. You know, body feels great, wrist feels great, and you know, I'm really looking forward to this year and getting it going. So hopefully, I can stay injury free. That's the goal. I've been trying to do as many things as I can to help prevent that, and you know, I'm kind of ready to just get it going.
You came to town early for Reds Fest this weekend. You're here early to have your wrist checked out, and I imagine to work out a little bit.
Yeah. I'm just, you know, working out a little bit and just making sure everything with the wrist is good, which it is, and you know, I'm just very excited right now. Very happy to be here.
Jesse, you've been in the organization since 2012. How would you characterize the season coming up? I mean, legitimately speaking, could you consider it a make or break year as far as making this club out of spring training and being in the lineup?
I mean, it's something I've worked towards my whole life, and make or break, I don't think that's the right way to put it. I think it's just, you know, an opportunity, and it's just my time to go show what I can do at the level, and just like everyone who's come before me in this game, that's what they've done. You know, they've had an opportunity, and it's my turn to go make the best of it. So,
what position would you prefer to play if you had to pick one of the three outfield spots, or does it make any difference?
Just put me on the field.
Yeah. I hear you.
You know, when you look at your, and I agree with that 100% also, when you look at your numbers progressively throughout your career in terms of batting average, on-base percentage, on-base plus slugging, they've basically gone up every year. You've done a great job in that area. The one thing people talk about is the power or lack thereof. Does that concern you at all?
No.
Why is that?
My job is to put together tough ABs, and, you know, I think these are my numbers right here.
Yeah.
Just going by what we got here, I think I did a pretty solid job of doing that this past year. And it's just, you know, that's my job. My job is to go up there, put together a tough AB, and try to put the barrel on the ball. If it goes over the fence, it goes. You know, it's not my goal to go up there and hit home runs. I want to put the bat on the ball, and I want to make the pitcher's job hard.
I mean, in the minor leagues, so far you've put together a .296 career batting average, .398 on-base percentage, .854 on-base plus slugging. Those are pretty darn impressive numbers.
I appreciate that. You know, I work hard, and you know, I just try to get better every day with it, and just keep it rolling.
Yeah, you're talking about being able to make contact, and we're looking now at the page that will be in the Reds Media Guide when it comes out in a couple of months. one strikeout every 7.59 plate appearances, which was the fourth best ratio in the league. Obviously, getting on base is a big thing with you.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like, you know, if you can get on base as many times as you can, that's just, you know, going to provide opportunities for guys behind me to drive me in and produce more runs. And, you know, I think my job as a hitter is to be complete. And, you know, I'm working every day. I'm becoming a complete hitter. And I think the work I'm putting in right now and everything I've learned these past years in the minors are just going to be implemented. So, sure. You know, I'm looking forward to doing that.
Last year was your first year at AAA with the Louisville team. How was the adjustment for you there coming up from AA?
It was, you know, there's an adjustment just like every level. I think, you know, it's your first time playing against guys who have had extended time in the big leagues. You know, we played against Casey McGee a lot. I think he was an all-star a couple of years ago. And, you know, you're around older guys like, you know, Hernani or Barron, and, you know, it's just cool to be able to learn from guys who have who've seen a lot in the game. And, you know, Delano DeShields was our manager, and he taught me a lot. You know, on both sides of the ball, and I thought I made really good strides learning from him, and, you know, I thought it was all around a great year.
Was there anything that you worked on particularly over the course of the season last year to enhance your chances of coming to the big leagues and staying?
Defense. I thought, you know, I listened to Delano DeShields about defense, and he got through to me, and we did a lot of drills, and we did a lot of work, and I by the end of the year, I felt like I was making plays that I wasn't at the beginning. So
right.
I think that's your key in learning.
Were you having in your mind, or maybe in Delino's mind, some shortcomings in terms of defense?
I mean, I don't know if it was shortcomings. I just think, you know, as my job as a baseball player is to get better. Mm-hmm. And we both agreed on the fact that I could have gotten better at that. And, you know, I put in the work and I put in the time, and, you know, I did.
Are you talking about routes to balls, et cetera?
Routes, you know, just taking reads, just being alert on, you know, certain situations, you know, all just the little things, just, you know, polishing them up and become a little better at everything, and just, you know, just taking it to the game, really.
Is there a benefit, and you could certainly answer this question, from playing for a guy like Delano DeShields, who was in the big leagues forever and also was a very good player in the big leagues?
For sure. You know, I mean, all the games he's played and all the games he's seen, you know, you're going to learn a lot from him. And, you know, I just feel like my job as a player is to ask questions and learn. And,
right.
You know, he was a great guy for me to learn from. And, you know, the Reds have done a great job, you know, with me throughout the minor leagues, just giving me coaches and guys to ask questions and learn from. And it's, you know, it's just been a true blessing.
This past year for the Reds, Adam Duvall, who had a long minor league career, was in his mid to late 20s before he finally got an opportunity to have his chance last year and really capitalized on it, was in left field. Scott Schebler, later in the year after a terrible start, came back and had a very good final 6 to 7 weeks. How encouraging is that for you to see that guys who have fought their way through the minor leagues were actually given a chance with the Reds?
It's really cool. And, you know, Duvall was an all-star.
Yeah.
And he had a really amazing year, and it was something special. I thought, you know, I thought him and Billy were going to take home the gold gloves, and I was pulling for him there.
A lot of us thought that.
Yeah, but, you know, him and Shebs both had a great year, and it was cool to be able to watch them go up there and, you know, perform well and do their thing. So hopefully I can, you know, be next in line and do the same.
Jesse, our time is up with you, pal. We appreciate you coming by and chatting with us tonight. We look forward to seeing you this weekend at Reds Fest.
For sure.
At the Caravan, of course, out in Scottsdale.
Awesome. I appreciate you guys. Thank
all right,
you for
pal.
Having
we
me.
Appreciate you. Jesse right. Winker.
Thank you, Jesse.
Thank Reds you. Outfielder who will be heavily in the mix when spring training gets underway in Goodyear in February. The Reds Holiday Gift Pack is on sale now, starting at only $40. The gift pack includes 4 ticket credits, good towards any combination of games next year. Plus, you get a new limited edition Reds Nutcracker. Purchase your Reds Holiday Gift Pack now at the Reds kiosk located in Kenwood Town Center and Florence Mall, or at reds.com/holiday. Some restrictions apply. We'll be back with more. Charlie Frank, who runs the Reds Community Fund, will be with us next. Stay tuned. We return to the Holy Grail Bank shortly. Reds Hot Stove League is back live from the Holy Grail Banks, presented by Budweiser. You heard Jesse Winker, and now you're going to hear from the guy who more than adequately runs things as far as the Reds Community Fund is concerned. He's a good friend of ours, and that would be none other than Charlie.
Hi, Marty.
How you doing, pal?
Doing great, thanks.
Talk about what we've got coming up this weekend. We've got Reds Fest coming up beginning on Friday, running Friday and Saturday night, Saturday. And then you are directly involved in a couple of events that one is brand new and one is a staple and gets bigger and bigger every year.
Well, you know, this is year 11 of Reds Fest under the Castellini leadership team.
Right.
So, you know, and from day one in 06, Phil had gone to see the All-Star game in Pittsburgh with Zach Bonkowski and others that year. And he came back from that fan festival experience and really wanted to build this into something similar. And I think he has exceeded that goal. There is no team that does what the Reds do in
right.
terms of the amount that they invest in the event, not just dollars and trade, but creativity and imagination with all the players and broadcasters and former players and Pete Rose. I mean, it has so much energy and creativity new each year. And the price has always been very reasonable. We don't charge really for autographs or over 100 free autograph and photo sessions. It's really a remarkable thing that they want to do to make the Reds franchise accessible in the off season. So from a community fund standpoint, we're very fortunate to be a big part of it. We got some new elements this year.
Talking with Charlie Frank, who runs the Reds Community Fund. Okay, I think everybody knows about the Texas Hold'em Tournament. And as I said, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger every year. But a new wrinkle, and every year there's something new about Reds Fest. When you walk out of that building on Saturday, you think to yourself, there's no way they can add anything or tweak something to make it better than the year before. And every year, you folks, led by Phil Castellini, proves us all a liar.
Well, that is true. And we do have a new event on Friday night. We are introducing Reds Fest Bingo. So we're jumping into the bingo fray, and for those that know our organization, Marty, I know you and Jim certainly do, we have the secret weapon, which is Sarah Ingram, who has become poker literate.
Sarah!
And so she is our events and sponsorship coordinator. She does conservatively the job of about two and a half highly skilled people. And so she has jumped into the fray to make sure that we are legal and compliant, that we know as much of the nuance as we can, because jumping into the bingo space is a little bit slippery. You got to make sure you do it right.
Yeah, but you all did your homework.
That is true.
You went out to Mount Healthy, correct?
We did. And, you know, a couple of our staff members, not just Sarah Ingram, but also Matthew Wagner, they had some success.
Yes.
At the,
we're always happy to hear that.
Yes, we are. Phil Castellini and myself, not so much. But we had some delicious Mets and bratwursts and did just fine. So, yeah, that was a very worthwhile learning experience. A lot of the folks that helped put on that healthy game are going to be with us. So it's going to be a very smooth, very professionally run operation. There will be some different pieces to it. It's 18 games. The first 16 prizes are going to be Reds Authentics, Reds Memorabilia, signed merchandise, tickets, things like that. The last two games will both have a $1,000 prize.
Wow.
And that's Friday night, 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock, third floor of Reds Fest Bingo for the first time.
That's correct. And we're hoping to get more people to register. So that's really the message for tonight. They can do so online up until midnight on Thursday, December 1st. If you register online for $40, you not only get entry to the event, to Reds Fest, so you get your Reds Fest Friday ticket. You get 18 of the game cards, each which have six different cards on those boards, and then you get a Reds Dauber as well, which, of course, you can't play multiple bingo cards without the Dauber. So it's a really great package. It's also open to folks that are down on the floor. You can come up and buy one of the game cards for $5 apiece.
Now, who's going to be the caller?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because now is a perfect time to let you and Jim know that
I believe
you are going to be on the radar.
We're guest callers.
You're going to be guest callers. Now,
this is going to be one of the highlights of my career.
I assume so. Yes.
I'm looking forward to it.
Well, it's going to be a perfect lead-in, too, to your role with Reds Fest Celebrity Poker the next night.
That's correct.
Where you are a stalwart.
That's one of my favorite events. There's no question about that. Now let's talk about Giving Tuesday.
Okay.
Tell people what we're talking about here and how it relates to the Reds and vice versa.
Well, I think many people are probably aware of the Giving Tuesday, which is the companion to Cyber Monday and, of course, Black Friday. And this is really a phenomenon over the last 5 years or so. And I can tell you, just based on my email inbox over the last few days, it's a phenomenon that is picking up steam. So it's a very crowded space. There's so many worthwhile nonprofits out there that are trying to get their message out there today. And we just decided, because we have so many worthwhile programs, so many Reds fans out in the community that care about the work that we do, that care about the investment that the Castellinis have made during their tenure of stewardship, that we'd be foolish not to let people know about it. So we are out there. We have great support through the Reds marketing communications team. Jared Rollins, who manages a lot of the Major League Baseball website activity, makes all this stuff possible for us. And so getting that information online, showing some of the videos of what we do, is really an exciting addition for us. So we hope that a lot of people will visit the site. Beyond ways to contribute to help, whether it's towards funding one of our Reds Rookie Success League kids, or whether it's funding one of our RBI teams or one of our projects, you can also learn how you can volunteer for one of our many activities, many of which take place at our Urban Youth Academy in Roseland.
Charlie, once again, you are a font of information. We appreciate you stopping by and visiting with us. We look forward to these events at Reds Fest this weekend, and certainly look forward to calling out some winning cards on Friday night.
Well, now that we're aware of that 6-9 window, and that you and Jim both might be involved.
Not only might, will be involved.
Will be involved, yes. I'm glad we got that taken care
of. So am I.
I feel I'm going to sleep a little better tonight.
Thank you. Good to see you. Thanks,
good to
Charlie.
See you,
Charlie
Frank.
Let's up the Reds community fund. We're going to be back and talk some serious baseball, some rumors that have floated around today, and sides who have signed contracts and those who may be on the verge of it, trades that may be made. We've got it all coming up. We're at the Holy Grail Banks. This is the Reds Hot Stove League, presented by Budweiser.
Back at the Holy Grail here at the Banks on the Reds Hot Stove League on this Tuesday night. We'll remind you that the Reds Hall of Fame and Museum's Pete Rose Hit Collection fundraising campaign features 4,256 baseballs, each signed by Pete and stamped with the official Pete Rose Hit Collection logo and baseball's unique hit number. Purchase a Hit Collection baseball and become the owner of that hit and help support the Pete Rose Sculpture Project. Buy one now until the end of Reds Fest, and you'll get to meet Pete at Reds Fest and have your photo taken with him. To do so, visit redsmuseum.org. A couple of things about bingo that we are talking about with Charlie. A couple of other quick notes. You must be 18 and older to participate. And if you'd like more information, reds.com/bingo. There we go.
Yeah, our thanks to Jesse Winker and to Charlie Frank for being with us. The Reds, of course, announced, I guess, yesterday, they added a couple of players, both of whom were claimed off of waivers. A catcher, Juan Graterol, and an outfielder, Gabriel Guerrero. The latter is a nephew of Vladimir Guerrero, who one day will probably be in the Baseball Hall of Fame. I would hope that the acquisition of these two guys are simply to give this club depth, and that they will begin the year in Louisville. Because if they're not, it's the same thing that they did last year, bringing in guys that nobody else wanted. And as we all know, none of those guys panned out to any great degree.
Well, if Devin Mesoraco and Tucker Barnhart are both healthy and able to go, those two will be the catchers on this club. And I'm sure a guy like Juan Graterol is much like Ramon Cabrera was last year. He's a guy that will be down at AAA, and if they need someone up here, he could be potentially one of the guys that they'd go out and get. I still think they'll get another catcher. We'll sign another veteran catcher before the winter is over.
Yeah, Graterol is 28 years old, by the way. Guerrero is 23. So you got to like him a little bit, because he certainly comes from good stock.
No doubt about it. And he has an upside because of his age, 23. But again, I still think they'll make another catching move before the winter meetings, which are coming up starting Sunday.
That's
after,
correct.
After Reds Fest.
Now, you know, in this era of social media, you can go on Twitter, you can go on any website and come up with every type of rumor imaginable, whether it be in baseball, basketball, football, politics, entertainment, whatever it might be. But the most perplexing thing I read today was a report that the Reds are shopping Billy Hamilton. I would hope that there's no truth to that, because on the surface it makes no sense at all. He's under club control for three more years. I'll be dead honest with you. If you take the starting eight, I would trade anybody in the starting eight before I trade Billy Hamilton.
Well, there's a difference between shopping Billy Hamilton and listening to potential offers for Billy Hamilton, and I would suspect that's what they're doing, maybe simply because they have received a call or two about Billy Hamilton, and I would almost guarantee that they would have to be completely, utterly overwhelmed with an offer to even consider moving a guy that should have won a Gold Glove
right.
this year in center field in Billy Hamilton. So, but it doesn't hurt to talk about the potential of listening, because you never know what might be thrown out there. But if Billy Hamilton isn't our guy in center field on opening day, there's not a person in this room or listening on the Reds Radio Network that wouldn't be shocked.
Can I refer to you from now on as the official voice of this organization when it comes to baseball? And I say that because what makes me a little bit uneasy about this whole Billy Hamilton thing is that no one in the baseball operation has jumped up and said, time out here now. We're not interested in trading Billy Hamilton, but, you know, we lost 94 games, so if somebody makes an offer to us, we'll listen to them about any player that we have. But I'm going to use you as the official spokesman for this organization about Billy Hamilton.
Do I get a chance to answer that?
Yes, you do.
Can you use me for that? Absolutely not. We have a call. Let's go to the telephones. Sean from Newport, you're up on the Reds Hot Stove League. Sean?
Sean hung up already?
He says, if you're going to talk about trading Billy Hamilton, I don't even want to be involved. So he said, I'm gone.
Well, Sean must have been struck dumb when he heard that there was a rumor that Billy Hamilton was going to be traded.
Or that I was the spokesman for the Reds. One or the other. I'm not sure which.
The other thing that came out of today, I guess the biggest story as it addresses, aside from the ongoing contracts, the collective bargaining thing that expires at, what, midnight tomorrow night?
Midnight on the 1st, yes.
Yeah. Was the fact that Yoenis Cespedes finally put all speculation aside by signing a four-year, $110 million contract to return to the New York Mets. And what that means is if you're an outfielder and you're a free agent, all of a sudden the price has gone up.
Well, that doesn't shock me as much as the Brett Cecil signing and the money that's thrown in with him. I mean, with Cespedes, 4 years, $110 million, that's, what, the $25 to $30 million
$27-plus million dollars a year.
And that's probably par for the course for a guy that does what he does. But the Brett Cecil thing, oh, by the way, also, Edson Volquez looks like
correct.
He's going to be back in the National League as a Marlin.
He signed a two-year, $22 million contract with the Florida Marlins, Miami Marlins.
But the Brett Cecil deal, when this occurred last week, and Doug Flynn and I talked about it, I was anxious to hear what your thoughts were on that. 4 years, $30 million for a guy who's almost a loogie in that he had way less innings than appearances last year.
Well, he's also a guy who knocked around with no success at all as a starting pitcher, but
right.
then when some bright baseball mind decided to put him in the bullpen, he's had a run of two or three years in a row where he's pitched extremely well. What it means, again, though, is that it's going to drive the price up for relief pitchers, which I think will be a very strong commodity on the free agent market from now until the beginning of spring training or now until the beginning of the season. But I thought the Brett Cecil contract was ridiculous, and now on the heels of that, the rumor is the Cardinals are going to be interested in trying to sign Justin Turner, the free agent third baseman from the Los Angeles Dodgers.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question, our number is 513-749-7000, or if you're calling from outside the Cincinnati area, 800-843-1360. This is the Reds Hot Stove League. We are live at the Holy Grail at the Banks, right across from Great American Ballpark. We'll come back with more right after this.
The Holy Grail Banks, Santo Graal, and Budweiser, proud sponsors of the Reds Hot Stove League. Grab your buds for the next live Reds Hot Stove League show here at the Holy Grail Banks on December the 6th with specials on Bud and Bud Light buckets.
What do you want to talk about, Marty?
Well, you know, we touched very, very briefly on the fact that CBA runs out midnight tomorrow night.
Right.
I guess there's some concern that there will be a lockout in the event that no agreement is reached by midnight tomorrow night. On the other side of the coin, if they're close enough, there are a lot of people who think that the owners will not lock them out and they will extend it. And I think it would be in everybody's best interest if something like that occurred. They've got issues dealing with international draft.
Right.
And what are the other? There are two big issues besides that one that they are
draft compensation
right.
for players that receive a qualifying offer. That's a big one.
That's
for
a huge
union.
One. Yeah. Why don't we go to the phones? We got callers.
We do. We have. Let's go to Anderson. You're in neck of the woods, so to speak.
Might be Amanda.
And talk to Tom. Hi, Tom. You're on the Red Sox.
I guess it isn't.
Thanks, Marty. Hey, whoever at WLW is in charge of letting everybody know that they moved this to another station and they dropped the ball, so the Reds need to know that. Having said that, what do you guys think, both of you, about moving Mesoraco to an American League team? Because I don't think the kid's going to ever be able to squat behind the plate full time.
Well, I tell you what, I played golf with Dr. Kremchek about 6 or 7 weeks ago, and I brought up the very subject, and he is convinced that Devin Mesoraco will catch in 2017.
Really?
Yeah. I was quite honestly, I was very surprised at the assertiveness in which he answered the question. He feels very, very confident that he's going to be able to go behind the plate and catch next season.
Okay, well then, hey, if Doc Kremchek says it, I stand corrected. We'll let it roll and see what happens. But the other thing is, I was driving home tonight and heard on the radio somebody talking about trading Billy Hamilton, and if you could get a quality value out of him, you know, around 4 o'clock, I'm like, same thing. The first thing I thought, Marty, was, really, you finally got a center fielder, and the first thing you guys want to do is trade him for some unknowns?
Well, it kind of concerns me a little bit. Like I said before, you've got him under contract through the 2019 season before he becomes, what, arbitration eligible?
No, before he becomes,
becomes a free agent. Should have won a gold glove. Made incredible inroads toward becoming a solid hitter in the second half of the season and is the most prolific base stealer in Major League Baseball. I would like, you know, again, nobody in an official capacity has spoken up and addressed the rumor. And, again, I underline the fact that it is only a rumor until we know otherwise. Billy Hamilton, I would trade Votto, Phillips, Cozart, Suarez, Duvall, and Schebler before I trade Billy Hamilton.
Thank you. Last question I'll run. What's the chances they're going to get rid of Phillips and Cozart and put those young kids in that slot?
Well, in terms of Cozart, the one team really that had come up regarding him would have been Seattle, and Seattle just recently acquired Segura from Arizona, so their spot at short is filled. Arizona's spot was backlogged already, so they don't need anybody else to play short. So now it's a matter of looking around to see if there is another team that needs a shortstop that maybe Cozart could fill that spot. We'll have to wait and see. The worst thing in the world would absolutely not be to have Cozart come back. That would not be a bad thing at all, other than it leaves Jose Peraza kind of dangling in the wind if Phillips is also back as to where you're going to play this guy who really, really has to play next season. So, Tom, thank you for your call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Newport. Okay, we're going to wait.
We've got to wait.
All right. Well, we'll wait and take some more calls then afterwards, right?
Yeah, take a break.
Okay. All right, we'll take a break. This is the Reds Hot Stove League, brought to you by Budweiser. We'll come back with more after this. Final segment of the Reds Hot Stove League on this Tuesday night. We'd like to remind you, wash books from Mike's Car Wash make a great holiday gift. Get yours today at any Mike's location or at mikescarwash.com. Let's go right back to the phones. We have a caller, Steve, that's been waiting a while from Lima. Steve, you're up on the Reds Hot Stove League.
Yeah. Hey, we just saw an exciting World Series between two teams that used to be league doormats, and they both brought in new management, new faces, and all that good stuff. You know, they had a plan, and it took a few years to do it. They rebuilt. And now, you know, one of them just got the World Series, after 108 years or whatever. But what do you think the Reds have to do to achieve that level of success to get, you know, to where the Cubs and the Indians are? Do they have a plan or anything?
Yeah.
Steve, they have a great plan, and I think they're executing it now exactly what they need to do. They're executing the plan now. You need good draft picks. You have to explore every possible way to discover players, which they are doing. They went out and signed a couple of international players from Cuba that they hope will be ready in the not-too-distant future. And you have to have a little bit of luck as well. But I think they have a great plan, and hopefully in the next 2 to 3 years, you'll see some of these young guys that we've been talking about for years make it to the big leagues. Maybe the young man that was sitting right between us earlier, Jesse Winker, start to flourish in Great American Ballpark.
Yeah, but you also, along with all of that, you're going to get a very high draft pick over a period of years. Last year, they took Nick Senzel, a third baseman out of Tennessee, who's on the fast track to get to the big leagues. This year they're going to have, what, the number two pick?
Number two pick again.
You cannot make a mistake in any of the years in which you get a top two or three pick. You can't make a mistake. And if you don't, and they draft again in June and they come up with a player as capable talent-wise as a Senzel, whether it be a position player or a pitcher, you're definitely on the right track. But you look at the Cubs, they drafted Chris Bryant in 2013, and look how fast he got to the big leagues. Kyle Schwarber in 2014 out of IU, and we all know how quickly he got to the big leagues. This is the type of player that you have to go out and draft.
Well, the Reds were given the nod as the number one draft by Baseball America for what that is worth. Recently in their magazine, they thought the Reds had the best draft of all. And Nick Senzel, who Marty's been talking about at the top, Taylor Trammell, the young outfielder, who's only 18, and Chris Oakey, the catcher.
Yep.
They led by those three, and Dick has even thrown in the name of T.J. Friedl as a guy that they kind of snuck in with and got him because he was in that unique situation where he was not in the draft, but he could sign. A lot of teams didn't know that. Red scooped in on him, and so that's just part of what Baseball America considers the best amateur draft of 2016.
That pretty much sums it up. We certainly would once again reflect upon the big event coming up at the Duke Energy Convention Center beginning on Friday, and that, of course, is Reds Fest, Fox Sports Ohio Reds Fest, presented by PNC Bank, Friday from 3 p.m. until 10:30 p.m., and then Saturday from 11 a.m. until 6:30 p.m. Tickets available at reds.com/redsfest, the GABP box office, and the Reds Fest starting Friday at 9 and Saturday at 7 o'clock. As we talk with Charlie Frank, every year it gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Well, the first 11,000 fans at Red Fest each day receive a free drawstring backpack and a pair of red socks. Over 75 current players and coaches, broadcasters, minor league players will be there. Over 100 player autograph sessions, and those are all free autograph sessions and photo sessions. And, of course, this year, bingo added to the mix on Friday night.
And adding icing on the cake above, over and above all of that, Pete Rose will be in the Reds Hall of Fame at Reds Fest supporting the Pete Rose Hit Collection fundraising campaign for the bronze sculpture of Pete that will be unveiled outside Great American Ballpark on June the 17th. Fans who buy one of the Pete Rose Hit Collection balls will get to meet Pete and have their photo taken with him. He'll be on the main stage on Friday at 5:30 p.m. for player introductions and at 6 o'clock for a question and answer, and he'll participate in a second Q&A on Saturday at 12:15. His name has been magic all these many, many years, and no less so now that he'll be participating in Reds Fest.
June 17th is the big day when the statue will be unveiled. I don't think there was any question, was there, that the pose that they chose would be the pose that they wanted to have. And it's perfect, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you know, when they inducted him into the Reds Hall of Fame last summer, it was truly one of the biggest weekends, not only in the history of Great American Ballpark, but in the history of Reds baseball. And I got to believe when they had the unveiling across the street on June the 17th, it'll really be something.
I tell you what, you comment on this. I thought that Pete, during the playoffs in his area on Fox, did a tremendous job of talking about hitting and what was going on in those games. Did you enjoy that?
I told him on the telephone. I said, you and Frank Thomas ought to take your act on the road. I mean, that's pretty good stuff now.
It was good. It sure was.
We're out of time. We appreciate all of you folks who showed up here tonight at the Holy Grail Banks. We thank these folks here for the ongoing hospitality that they extend to us every week when we do this program during the off season. And, yep, we'll be right back here again next Tuesday night with another edition. Right, Jimmy?
You and Tom.
Thank you.
All right.
Join us next Tuesday night. Another edition of the Reds Hot Stove League.